listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The sky is falling. Nobody balling. They done gave back their guns for some tickets to the playoffs. But the Hornets, they won. Nigga, we slum. Kept all our guns. I got to protect my family. I drove the biggest thing in the house because I knew they tried to ram me because I'm stabbing. Make it away. Path of the expressway. The best way I know how. Up in the sky. East, west. No clouds. I'm coming now. Fuck that money now. It ain't no honey now. I asked my honey how she feeling. And is Jordan okay? Yeah, she chilling. We should be in the dungeon shortly. Ain't nobody on their porch seat. Approaching the final exit. I think that I see four horses, but I don't, though. Nigga, they won't know until it's on you. I put that on my dope boys from A-Town to California. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and...
Karen, me and you. Your mama and your cousin, too.
Different song, but...
That's my bad. Same group.
Same group. You were close.
I was not close, but
you reached
yes.
out, you tried. But it's the artist storytelling part, too. So
okay mm-hmm. Wrong song, y'all, but I was thinking about Outkast.
It's all right, you know, that was just not the best intro to the show that we've ever had. I messed up the lyrics
and I think that what messed me up. My bad.
It was all bad. At any rate, we are live on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, we are
ready to do some podcasting for the world to hear. You can listen to these shows live on crowdcast.io. Just go there, you know, follow us on social media. We post the links when it's time. You can subscribe to us, you can follow us, and then you'll get emails whenever we do go live, so you guys can follow along that way. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme.
I have a question, baby. Yes. What was that app you said you were using for iOS users?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would have to go find it again, but I had a Flash Media app that allowed me to go see to watch Flash Media, so I could go watch like Bomani Jones's whether it was Freecast or Vocal. I used to watch his stuff live on my phone, but I forget the name of the Flash player, but there's plenty of them out there in the App Store. Maybe that would allow people on iPhones to view us, but I don't know.
Yeah, until they get an app, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea if that'll work or not. At any rate, Bobby Shmurda has been in jail 579 days now. Still no bail lowered. This show is double sponsored. It's brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Make sure you check out our second album, Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. It's a good album. It's fun. I think you guys will enjoy it. It was, fun to record. Nick Jew was on there. You may know her from What's the Tea and various appearances on our show. And it's made with love, and I think you guys will be able to go to Amazon and iTunes and find Sunspot and Other Ratchetness and enjoy it. And Ratchetness is spelled like Ratchet, the tool, with N-E-S-S at the end. So make sure you guys check that out. This episode is also brought to you by Bevel. That's right, Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right. Let's see. What's the first thing to get into? Speaking of Shadow Dog Productions, we recorded a pilot for a TV show yesterday. That was cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, so we got to meet a whole lot of interesting people. Mm-hmm. I don't know how or when you guys will be able to see it, if you'll be able to see it. I don't know what the final form will be, but it was just basically we were asked by Dexter, like, hey, you guys want to do a TV show and we can shoot the pilot. We'll bring in some people that that are interesting. You can interview them. The show, at least the running title right now, is What's the Business with Rod and Karen, and we just talk to people about their business, like their small businesses that they started and how they started and what are some of the advice they would give to people, what are some of the pitfalls, what are the difficult things, what are the easy things, all of that stuff. We talked to them about it. Got to meet some interesting characters. We met a dude that made like metal trees, by welding.
That was neat. Yeah.
Yeah, it was extremely neat to get to do that. We got to talk to women that started businesses, like one of them was in production, like film production. She was like a director and a producer of her own film. Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, she's like 22 years old.
Right.
Yeah, she just really blew my mind because of her age and the way she talked, and she was just saying all the things that she went through, and she really, it was just something about her, because even though she was young, she was a force to reckon with.
Yeah, Armani, that was her yes. name, Armani Martin. And, you know, she has a short film that's coming out and it's getting a lot of critical acclaim. So yeah, hopefully we can see that soon. Mm-hmm. We also had, the makeup person, Sunny. We had a makeup person.
Yeah, the makeup person was really, really neat, y'all. And the room was laughing at me, because when it comes to makeup, there's nothing wrong with people wearing makeup. But I know for me personally, every time that I've tried to apply makeup, I'm very terrible at it, and I'm too lazy to learn. I'm just going to keep that real. So the first time I actually got somebody to actually do makeup for me, which now I know it was an error to do in the first place, but I didn't know. I actually got it done at the mall. But the thing at the mall is majority of the people at the mall are white people, and majority of the people that are putting your makeup on are white people, and very few of them know how to match and blend black people's skin. And by the time she finished, I looked like I had been struck by a ghost. So I was like, no, if this is what professional makeup looks like, I ain't got time for this. So that was literally the last time I got like somebody quote unquote professional, mm-hmm. To do makeup. So Dexter was like, he's going to be a makeup person. I was like, okay, cool. And, Sunny was beautiful. You can tell that she was used to working with black people's skin. Because like I said, I didn't see what she was doing till she was finished with the product, but the lady sitting over from you was just amazed. She was like, wow, she blended that perfectly. It was literally, I looked flawless. I'm not even gonna lie. I felt special. I looked flawless. And she was doing all kinds of brushes and tapping and shit, you know, shaking off shit and mascara and mm-hmm. doing my eyebrows. And I wanted to go put on a dress. I didn't have a dress to put on, but if I had one, I'd have put one on. I was going to somebody's wedding or prom. I don't know what I was doing, but I just felt really, really, really special.
Yeah, your face was beat to the gods, as they say.
What? Yes. And I was loving it, and I put pictures up, and I feel special, and I was just telling her how wonderful she made me feel. And it was one of those things that she's based out of Atlanta, and I think Roger got her card, so when we get a chance, we're going to promote her and her business, because we know we have a lot of viewers that actually live in Atlanta that need makeup artists for weddings, makeup artists for proms and things like that. She's really, really good.
She does, like, it's not just for that, mm-mm. but it's like she did makeup for like special effects.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like a cosplayer or something, yeah. You know, I mean, pay her for her work, obviously.
Yeah,
but
pay her for her work.
Still, she, you know, it was a lot. It was just really cool, you know, yeah. the experience, and she was so professional and so good.
Yeah, she was very good. And I was talking to her, and she was saying that she's done a few I could say like movie kind of like background and things like that. She can like do fantasy. She said she basically was an artist who transitioned over to makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was just cool just to have her work on me. And even Roger got makeup.
I didn't get real makeup. I just
no,
got
no,
like,
no, no.
Your forehead is shiny. Yeah, let me cover this up. It wasn't like,
no. It
I
wasn't
didn't get
like me.
My face beat to the gods.
No,
like,
he just
it
got
did.
A,
it wasn't the same.
No, he just got a brush over, cause I didn't realize this, but when you like there and you got the lights and the cameras, I didn't realize that we shine. Mm-hmm. So, we were shining. She was like, oh, you're shining. I got to dab down, just shine. She was like, it's natural that we shine. I didn't know that, but yeah. Rod didn't get the full treatment like me. He just got, hey, your forehead shining, nigga.
I mean, I've gotten makeup before when I've done plays and stuff, but that's because stage lighting is a lot, you know, to be on stage. But, you know, and it didn't, either way, it didn't bother me. Like, when I did that, I basically had on fucking lipstick and blush and everything. It was crazy.
Well, I felt like a princess.
Yeah, and you know, it was just like, so anyway, I don't want to give away the whole show. Who knows? It was just a pilot. It may not get picked up.
Right.
I don't know what the final format looks like. Right. I don't know if that's what it's going to be, us sitting on the couch talking to people or not.
Some editing and things.
Yeah. I just know it was really fun. We was at this like really luxurious hotel. You know,
had a golf course in the back.
Yeah, it's funny because it's the ritzy part of town, so it's almost like we never go there.
No.
And it was funny because like we went out to eat and Karen was like, I wonder if we got one of these in Charlotte. I was like, Karen, we're 15 minutes away from our house,
right? Because we don't never go there. I was like, shit, I feel like I'm not at home.
Yeah, not that the place we ate was that fancy, but just that side of town is so fancy, right? Man, it's like it was a golf course at the hotel, you know, like,
yes.
And it must have been some type of event because it was nothing but black golfers out there. Shout out to Tiger Woods. I guess he put everybody on.
Yeah, so a tournament or something, and it was just wonderful. And Dexter was saying that the man was insulted because the dude asked Dexter, well, how did you find the room? And he said, I just did.
What man?
The dude at the, when Dexter checked in, asked him, how did he find this room, like the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I just typed in most expensive hotels, and he said the dude was offended.
Well, he said, we're not that expensive.
Yes,
and
yes, he did.
The thing is, that hotel is $500 a night for a room.
That's the,
and I think the room we were renting was like for 8 hours or for however many hours, it was like $800 or some shit. So it definitely wasn't cheap by any means. And they, at some point, I think they told him they were monitoring how much water we drank. So maybe they were going to charge her for the water too. It's like, and it wasn't bottled water, y'all. It was fucking water in a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, for this shit, man, they got to refresh this ice. The ice melted.
And we talked about that, but I didn't realize this. And maybe it's almost to, because they know you can afford it, but almost the lower the rates for hotels is all inclusive because motherfuckers are going to like, bitch, I'm not paying for everything. And the high up it was like, oh, you want breakfast? That's extra. You want water? That's extra. You want a blanket? That's extra. They had phones out in the hallway, and they look like these old school push button phones. They almost look fake. And Michael, he was with us. He said he picked it up, and when you pick it up, it actually just goes downstairs to the concierge.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it was. I mean, that might be all hotels. I think, but the phone did look like extremely fancy though.
Yeah, it looked fake.
But yeah, it was just, I don't know, it was a fun time. Mm-hmm. We went out to eat later on, which is funny because, you know, we had this conversation. There's this table, like half white people, half black people and stuff. And I don't even know how we got on it, but eventually, like, the topic shifted. We were talking about Black Lives Matter. We were talking about
all kinds
of stuff. Police shootings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because the conversation, like, it wasn't this awkward thing. Nobody was like, but all lives matter to me. And, you know, like, there was no trolling and stuff like that. So that was, like, a cool moment where, you know, and nobody, it felt like nobody was trying to hold back.
Right.
You know, even though, you know, a couple people said some stuff, I was just like, yeah, that's not factually correct. But shit, those people was black. Well, but it's funny though, because, it's this restaurant and we're all just having this conversation like human beings. And it was just kind of a dope moment, as opposed to, you know, how things seem to come off on social media where everybody's like arguing and up in each other's faces and stuff. And, you know, it was almost like doing the show right there.
Yes, yes.
It was almost like doing the show. And, you know, we finally were getting to talk to people because it was weird when we were recording recording the TV show part. I'm making jokes. I'm talking to these people. I'm, you know, having a good time, but the room can't laugh because it's a TV show.
Right. And they're recording, and then she would pick up, like, you could look up every now and then and you would see people's faces and expressions and things, but they wouldn't like saying anything like out loud. So it was just an experience. And we did have a boom mic, but this boom mic was a little bit different because I think last time it was somebody actually physically holding it. This one was like actually stationary.
Right.
And it was really cool with the lights and things like that. It was lots of lights. They wanted to be sure we were lit.
Yeah. And it was
literally
lit.
And figuratively.
It was lit. But yeah, like I say, it was weird because I was like, people couldn't laugh even when I was making jokes and shit. So it's like, I make a joke and then it's like, you can see people like holding back laughs because they don't want to fuck up the recording. But it was cool, man.
And fun.
Mm-hmm. And it was fun as well, guys. So we really, yeah, we really enjoyed meeting everybody and stuff. And, you know, it was just awesome, man. Nothing bad to report, man. We were tired as hell. We got home and just like slept. And that's why we ended up doing almost a midnight show last night.
Yeah, that's why you gonna hit a quiet storm.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll let you guys know if it does get picked up and we are doing TV shows and the way you can watch them and all those things.
If anything, it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, at any rate, I'm glad we didn't say no. Cause it's the kind of thing I think I would have probably said no to not too long ago. I would be like, you know, what we're doing is good and that's not the path we're going down. So whatever, but it's just kind of that thing where you're like, you know, I trust the people that we're working with. Mm-hmm. I trust where our lives are heading and what we're doing, and you know, it's a positive experience and it wouldn't take away from doing the show or anything, so maybe we'll be doing TV, who knows.
Yeah, and the director was really, really good. He was really, really laid back. He wasn't like hard or harsh or anything like that.
Yeah, everybody gave me a lot of compliments on my shirt too, which
they did.
Even like the wait staff and shit, because I had my We Out Harriet Tubman shirt.
Yes,
because I couldn't wear anything with a logo on it. Mm-hmm. But you know, a civil rights person saying I think is cool. So we'll see how it turns out. All right, we got all kinds of news to get into. This has been a very newsy day and newsy week, and you know, we haven't been able to keep up with every single thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, news never stops, no matter what, no matter how much we would like it to. Right. But first we gotta talk about this news. That's right, y'all. LGBTQ news all up in your face. Time to get your news on. Here's some infuriating news. I hope you're sitting down. The FBI, an FBI official, we don't know how if this is confirmed yet, but right. An FBI official is saying that there's no evidence of a hate crime in the Orlando shooting of the Pulse Club, Pulse nightclub, which killed 49 people and injured 53. It was Latin night at this gay club, and they're saying we don't know if it's a hate crime. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, this is like when that kid Elliot something shot up the campus, and he had all these writings and manifestos about how he wanted to kill women. But right. He happened to shoot a few men in the mix, and people went, well, I mean, how can we say he hated women when he shot some men too? You know, like that. Yeah, it's like he targeted the men because they were having sex with these women, and right. he couldn't because, you know, he didn't have no game, quote unquote, or whatever. And it was like, even then people was like, well, can it really be a hate crime though? I mean, think about it. And now, I mean, this person is dead. Okay. Omar Mateen is gone. Labeling this a hate crime changes pretty much nothing, but it just officially announces the obvious, and they don't, and they're not sure they want to do that.
Yeah, and it's just an official, so it's one of those things where they might have asked a random person that somebody knew, and that's what they said, but that does, and I hope that's not the quote-unquote official report. I hope they just asked somebody, and this is just what they said, because did they tell the quote-unquote official FBI person's name?
Let's see. No, they don't say what his name is.
Right, so a lot of times...
just the official cited right. A lack of hard evidence to back up the claims that he was targeting them for anything specifically.
Right, a lot of times when they do this, they just ask people associated or loosely connected to or somebody that they quote-unquote pull as a source, and if they're not willing to put their name out there, how official is this?
Yeah, and you know, the thing they've been doing is kind of the all lives matter response, but with gender and sexuality and orientation, because it's been, this is an attack on gay people, it's not an attack on Latinos, we're not talking about guns, we're not talking about gays, this is an attack on America and Americans, and we are all Americans. Like, no, specifically he shot up that club for a reason.
Come on,
like, come on, dog. It's like,
he shot up a fucking gay club, so if I go shoot up a gay club, how can you tell me it doesn't have anything to do with the Patriots in there?
Yeah, exactly.
Did I pronounce that right?
You said Patreons, but I know what you mean. Patrons
in there. Yeah, my bad.
Patreon is how people get paid online these days.
My bad.
It's all good. It's all good. Now you don't even watch this show, so I don't even know what to tell you, but. Every time I put it on, Karen walks out. But Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I finished season 2. It's a fucking revelation. Titus Andromeda is the real star. I think we can all agree.
That's that black dude, right?
Yes. He plays her roommate yeah. on the show. Well, I guess in some people like Karen ain't watching the show and don't know. Because a moving company came to his crib, or no. He called a moving company, and they were very rude to him. So he had to go on Yelp and lay the smacketh down.
I don't blame him.
He lashed out at a Brooklyn moving company in a scathing Yelp review after they failed to show up for a scheduled appointment, and a worker called him a fucking faggot in a text exchange. My name is Titus Burgess. I'm an Emmy-nominated actor for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, currently streaming on Netflix. That's besides the point, but watch it, begins Burgess in his Yelp review. These guys are the absolute most unprofessional workers I have ever dealt with. He then went on to say how Frank's Express asked him to post a positive review about them on Yelp before they would agree to show up to move his couch. Do not use this company, wrote Burgess, who closed out his review by writing, "You messed with the wrong queen."
I don't blame him.
Let me see. I think I actually have this video.
Yeah, fuck you.
Oh.
So,
Titus had to let out a breath, like it wasn't a sigh, it was like a breath of just like warming up, like, okay, so this is about to happen, it's about to go down.
Yeah, if it starts like that, it's, ooh, the words you're about to say, it ain't gonna end well.
Right, he put that,
like, let me get my mind right.
So. I just used this company called, or didn't use, this company called Frank's Express. Frank's Express. Called them this morning about 11 o'clock. They said, we can be there by 1 o'clock to move your couch. My couch is being upholstered. 1:30, no show. Call him back. Yo, where you at? He's like, oh, we're 15 minutes away. Can you post a review to Yelp? A review? Girl, you've not even done the job yet. What are you talking about? So then, he's like, I'll give you a discount. We'll do half off. Okay, fine. Hang up the phone. He texts me back. No review, no show. What? You just said you were going to do your job. Didn't do their jobs. This conversation, textual exchange, went on for about 45 minutes. I told him, you're fired. I'm going to post this everywhere. Never use Frank's Express in New York City. You the wrong queen, girl. Sorry.
There you go. Fucking with the wrong one. So yeah, apparently,
how are you gonna ask me to place a review and you haven't even done the job,
right? Like, that might be a problem, you know.
And they probably tell people to do that all the time.
Yeah,
you can guarantee that, particularly if you're black, you guarantee that they probably ask people, because I guarantee they don't ask somebody white to put a review, put a Yelp review in before, because they know they have fucking terrible ass service.
Yeah, you know, I also feel like it's like, in a lot of ways, they hold you hostage with that, because that's really how they get, you know, repeat businesses, through the reviews. And yeah, that happens when you leave a fucking, when you give bad service and people leave a bad review, people see it. You know, we're moving right. We got to move in a couple weeks, and
that shit matters.
You know, I'm looking for movers right now and whatnot, and I'm, you know, checking out these services, and yeah, there's certified reviews on them. And when I see, hey, this guy didn't show up by two different reviews and that left low, you know, lower stars and stuff like that, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't want to use that guy. Like,
nope, because we have a time restriction. And I don't want you fucking around and leave me high and dry and then having me have to pay even more to get somebody to do it at a quicker rate.
And then to go there and say, you know, to leave this negative, to leave the slur about him being gay in this text exchange where anyone can see it.
Right.
Because all you got to do is screen grab. Like, what happens if he's not famous? That's what you got to ask, because basically they were assuming he was just some regular dude.
Right. Then that goes to show you they do this all the time. Like, this is not new. They just happen to fuck with the one that was like, hey, I can go public and make shit happen and make people not fuck with you no more.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a lot, dog. Let's see what else is going on. A Texas man puts up an LGBT pride flag as Orlando tribute, and of course vandals target him within a day. A 20-year-old Texas man showed solidarity with the victims of the Orlando mass shooting attack, was met with vandalism and theft within 24 hours. The harassment started when Scout Register put up an LGBTQ rainbow pride flag on his front lawn, only to have it stolen. I went up, bought another pole, stuck it right back out there. He says, you can take my flag, but you're not going to take my pride. That second flag, he said, was also taken by a group yelling gay slurs and other profanities, who returned it hours later after they burned it and painted a Nazi swastika on it. They put some fear in my heart for my son, said his mother, Beth Register. However, Scout Register said vandals' efforts to demoralize him only backfired. This just makes me want to put up as many flags as I can. You're not going to stop me. Who has the time to be that racist and homophobic?
Don't you got other shit to do?
Like, you know what? Let's also add a Nazi sign, because just in case anyone misunderstands our intentions of burning the flag, we also would like them to know that we're not cool with nothing else either.
We're not cool with Jews. We're not cool with gays. I'm surprised they ain't have nigga on there. Let's go ahead and throw blacks in there.
Right.
You know, we let you know our homophobia and racism goals. We do not. That's one thing we don't discriminate on.
Like, did they come back and plant a flag in there and a cross in there and burn it as well where the flag used to stand? I mean, right, since they had the time today.
Right, burn the Star of David too. Like, we don't cover all of it.
Miss Missouri becomes the first openly gay contestant in Miss America beauty pageant.
Good.
Erin O'Flaherty, 23, was crowned Miss Missouri. She came out as gay at 18. She's now on track to compete to become Miss America in September. She's the first openly gay candidate, but she's also making suicide awareness, not sexuality, her platform. So her thing is, you know, because you have to pick a platform to, like, tout, mm-hmm, when you're Miss America or when you're a contestant. And hers is suicide. But, you know, in a way, that kind of does encompass a lot of things dealing with sexuality and sexual orientation, because a lot of times gay kids are at risk, you know, LGBTQ risk. Kids are at risk for suicide at a higher rate because of, you know, the way society treats people. So, you know, I could understand me going, like, kind of tackling two things at the same time. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, incredibly brave. You know, to be open, the first openly gay, because it's not like 50 women or 50 girls, 50 women every single year, however many years this contest has been going, have all been straight.
Right.
But it's just people haven't want to come out and say anything because it might cost you something. Mm-hmm. You know, people like to live in this world where we can pretend that, you know, everybody's just straight and everybody's heteronormative and right. just keep moving. And if you fuck up the flow, then
you're the problem.
Yeah. So good for her, man. I hope that, you know, I hope that doesn't lead to anybody taking her crown or treating her unfairly or whatnot.
Right. And you know, my thing is just once, you know, because this is coming out here, and you know, when you deal, and I try to find a lot of that generation and population, yeah, there are a lot of younger people, a lot of older people love these pageants. So it's just gonna be one of them things. I mean, interesting when the pageant go on, if they're gonna make that a vocal point of her running. You know, how they're going to be like, first, openly gay, you know, or if they're going to just treat her like any other contestant.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a difference, too.
Kim Davis, remember her? The woman who wouldn't sign gay marriage certificates?
Yeah.
Well, remember that Mike Huckabee tried to basically take her under his wing, him and Santorum, and he held a rally for her at one point, and he played Eye of the Tiger?
Mm-hmm. The people was like, we didn't agree to this shit.
Yeah, he had to pay $25,000 for playing that music.
Good.
Because he played it without the permission of the band, and they didn't support that message.
Right.
So they demanded that he pay $25,000. So. Right,
they did not agree.
Apple, your phone, your devices.
What about them?
Apple's in the mood, in the news, because apparently they removed a lesbian couple and their two children from some of their international versions of their Mother's Day commercial. The original ad shared by Apple on May 1st and used in the United States shows a series of photos of different mothers with their sons and daughters. One of the pictures features two women looking into the camera while posing with two babies on the bed. Mm-hmm. But the photo didn't make it to the French version of the video as first flagged up by French magazine Gene. Apparently the French versions, shows a fellow of Melanie kissing their baby. So just the one woman kissing the baby instead of two women and two babies looking into the camera.
Oh.
Apple also removed a couple from an ad in Italy, Germany, Japan, and Turkey, according to BuzzFeed. But the two women appearing versions of the ads in Canada, Australia, and Mexico. Melanie and Vanessa Roy, the couple in the picture, started dating in October 2011, got engaged a year later. It's been written on the blog. They tried artificial insemination the day after their wedding and welcomed their first child, Jax Izzo, and their second child, Eero Kicks, followed in February last year. So, yeah, I don't know why they chose to take them out of certain ones. I don't know. If it's the country's issue.
That's what I'm really thinking. I'm thinking they were like, hey, if we do this, we know it's going to be a problem. Let's just edit this so we ain't going to have no problems because we just want our shit to go out. And we don't want to deal with the protesters. We don't want to deal with the crazy folks. Let's just edit this out. And they know, they've been marketing for a very fucking long time all around the world. So they know kind of the markets and how people respond to certain things.
Yeah, I mean, it could be certain countries have laws and stuff,
right?
And they
already know certain countries wouldn't even put it up, so they're like, why even fight them about this or try to explain it to them? Let's just give another version and go on, so we ain't got to fight them in their courts about some shit.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I guarantee you it probably had nothing to do with Apple. I know, but a lot of people are gonna take their anger out on Apple, but it wouldn't surprise me. It had nothing to do with Apple. Is certain countries that your laws are like, not here.
Yeah. Online fury as heterosexual pride day online fury as homophobic celebration becomes top trend on Twitter days after gay pride. That's right, happy heterosexual pride day. Heterosexual Pride Day was trending every other day, literally. Even Gay Pride Day is still Heterosexual Pride Day for a lot of people. I don't know how this turned into a battle, but this reminds me of when Black Girls Rock is trending, and then people start the White Girls Rock, and it starts trending because salty ass, ignorant people don't want to see anyone get the spotlight but them, you know, like, how's this coming up? How's this gonna happen? You just gonna give these people some props? They get a day to celebrate themselves, but I don't get to participate in it? I don't appreciate this bullshit.
Yeah, you go, bitch, every other fucking day of the year. You can do it today. What are you talking about?
Right, which days aren't your days, right? But yeah, online fury is homophobic celebration when it comes to top trend. Heterosexual Pride Day became a top trend on Twitter on Wednesday, sparking outrage online. The hashtag was started by a Twitter user called Sam just days after Gay Pride in response to the question, why do straight men and women go to gay pride parades? And though it may have been tongue in cheek, as some suggested, hundreds of thousands of users responded within minutes, flooding the site with homophobic tweets. Liberals need to stop hating people for being normal, aka straight. Hashtag heterosexual pride day, one user wrote. Being proud of your sexuality is now wrong unless you fancy all 473 non-existent genders and a few farm animals now.
Wow.
Hashtag heterosexual pride day. Hashtag heterosexual pride day should, in my opinion, be a thing because equality. True, it isn't awful being hetero, but everyone should be able to take pride. Jesus Christ.
Dumbasses.
People really...
You really... Who are these people that are beating up straight people, hanging them, persecuting them? Who are these people that are going up in the clubs, shooting them up because you're straight? Who are these people?
Right.
Am I the only one missing the logic behind this? Who are these people?
Right.
Who won't give you service?
Mm-hmm.
Who tell you you're not needed here? Who tell you you can't use their bathroom? Fucking make laws in North Carolina to ban you from using the bathroom and blame it on the fucking children. Who are these people? Want to hide shit behind family when at the end of the day it's your homophobic. Your homophobia, which causes you to make these stupid ass laws all across the country. Who are these people that are fighting against the straight people?
Like, have you ever been dragged behind a pickup truck for being straight? Like, is this like some slur that you got called for being a straight guy coming out? You had to come out to your parents as straight at 14. You had to tell your parents, sit down, and they disowned you because, hey, you can't be straight going to our church and stuff. You're embarrassing us.
Getting kicked out of your home as a teenager.
You got a high rate of suicide for being straight. Is that what's going on now? Yeah. People turn away when you're out in public with your with your partner of a different gender. They do that. They go, oh, why y'all hold hands?
They taunt you and your children.
Anybody ever try to pull over and kill you and attack you? Anybody ever shot up a straight club because too many straight people was up in there? Because it was straight pride night. It's wild because, like, when it comes to privilege, people will literally co-opt someone's oppression. They really
yes,
will.
Sir.
I want your oppression too. The shit we deliver to you, we want that as well, you know?
You can't have a motherfucking thing.
Yeah, so, ridiculous, man. And of course, you know, just shameful that people would do that. Some people, I like this post. Here are all the countries it's illegal to be straight in. It must be really hard, fellas. And they have a map, and it's all the whole map is not in color because there's no countries where you can't be straight.
None.
Right. So I don't know, man. Just they literally they'll take everything from you, man, and then try to make it seem like it was your idea.
And your fault that they took it away. Right. Your fault that you are oppressed, and then your fault that you complained about your oppression.
All right. So happy heterosexual pride day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. I mean, come on, man.
Well, shit, if that's the case, we celebrated it yesterday, didn't we?
Everybody celebrates it every fucking day.
Right.
It's just Jesus. We don't need a march. Like, what the fuck? I need a pride boost, y'all. I need, you know, life has just been too hard for me as a straight man.
Right. It has been rough. I mean, I go by dresses and shoes, and people just look at me like I'm crazy, like I don't belong there. I'm nothing but a straight woman.
What does the straight pride flag even look like? A sensible pair of khakis?
Yes!
You know?
Your Excel spreadsheet with all your bills.
A Ford Explorer. Like, what is on a straight pride shirt?
A minivan. You
know? Right. Look, it's a soccer mom. I don't even know what would be our thing.
Right.
Daniquia Dodds, another black trans woman, was killed. Do Black Lives Matter still? This is on theroot.com. Man, the fact that there's not very many trans people, and this is the 15th trans person murdered in this year in the United States
that we know of.
Super scary. You know what I mean? Because it's not like, oh, well, there's millions of these. Like, even when we talk about, and not that it shouldn't be scary, but I'm scared of police, and I know that there's, you know, 150 or 100 and something so black people that have been killed by the police, but there's millions of us. There's millions of black people, you know, when there's like, you know, and we don't have official numbers for, so that's another thing. I saw, you know, like, I understand we don't have official numbers, which is something that we should add to the census and stuff so that we can start counting people, because we don't really know what the percentage is and what the numbers are, and there's nothing definitive and whatnot. But at any rate, I think it is well recognized that it is not, like, extremely common. So when 15 people get killed in a year, especially, you know, when it comes down to transgender people of color, yo, that's some scary shit. I'm scared of cops, and I know I got a 0.001% chance of a cop killing me, but like, if you're trans and everybody's the cops,
everybody,
you know, any, you know, it could be whether it's you know, a person that you're involved with, whether it's just somebody on the street, you know, whether it's people that have relationships with you but then in public want to disown you, or someone finds out and they try to kill you because you talked about it. I mean, that's a real story that we've read multiple times in different situations.
Right. It was cool until people started finding out.
Right. Like, that's a scary fucking existence. And, you know, one of the things that I've always kind of talked about is like, when we have, especially men are really good for this. And by good, I mean terrible, obviously. But they do the, man, what would you do if you found out your girl was a man? And then it's always just like, it turns into the fucking skit on the first Wu-Tang album, where it's like, I would torture you, I'll put bamboo under your fingernails, I'll burn you with a rusty clothes hanging. I'm just like, yo, where's this anger and torture, and where's this coming from? Like, where, like, what inside of you is, has turned you from a person that, because like, people live with this, like, people live with this anger and fear inside of them, and you don't know who is gonna be triggered by this shit. And just by your mere existence, somebody could just fucking flip the fuck out and decide, I'm gonna kill you.
Yes, sir.
Like, I don't know what you do with that, you know?
Sure. And then people wonder why, people that are trans a lot of times may not tell their partners. Like, be intimate with them and everything, and might not say a word.
Right. Like, if you knew somebody was like, this is a common thing that people hold within, like, you would never know unless it comes up. But yeah, it's a common thing for people to be like, I would kill somebody. Like, yo, what? That's a scary existence just to have. So yeah, she was a 22-year-old transgender woman, raised in Washington DC, and she's now the 15th trans person murdered in the United States this year. Now this is an editorial article, so there's some opinion in here. It says, sadly, you will rarely hear her name because she is not a straight black man killed by a police officer, but make no mistake, the killing is just as tragic, just as violent, just as worthy of our mobilizing together to say that Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and also, before you move on, a lot of them dudes have issue with women, because all of a sudden this quote unquote man in their mind is now a woman. So now I can talk to you, I can talk about you as if you are a woman.
What do you mean?
Because like you say, when they ask dudes, hey, you know, what happened if you're dating somebody that's trans? And, you know, they thought she was a woman, but now they, put like this, they, in their minds, they thought she was a woman, and they quote unquote feel now that she's a man. So now they could, bash you and bring a lot of this woman hate is actually coming out. Because all of a sudden, they view you, I might have said this back when I saw, they view you as a female, if that makes sense.
I see it the other way, which is, okay, they see you as, in their theoretical scenario, I think they now look, well, all the rules are out about me having to be protective of you, having to be, you know, to treat you as I would treat any other woman. now that I know that you're trans, I can beat you like a man. I can fight you like a man. I can, you know, there's this animosity and anger there. Now, I think deep down, it's they do have that animosity and anger towards women, but it's right. Just that, because, you know, there's very many straight relationships, quote unquote, where people are violent towards women.
Right.
But I feel like they now have, it's in their mind, the quote unquote rules go out the window. The societal norms go out the window of how we're supposed to treat the people we love. And now it becomes this fucking, like, wrestling match in their mind where I can just rock bottom your ass because you tricked me, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to anything else. You know, I remember a long time ago, I went on, it might have been Chris's show a long time ago, and the topic came up, and it's like, what would you do if your girl turned out to be a man or something? And I was like, if you really want to know, I mean, I'm in love with her. We've been together for all this time. I would be happy she trusted me to tell me. I would understand the fear of why she wouldn't tell somebody that.
Right.
It's not really about me. You know what I mean? Like, as sad as that would seem, because I don't think people really do love people. I think people talk these games and shit, but they don't really know what it's like to love somebody on a level that's more than just you know, sex. What TV, more than just TV, I would put it, more than just a movie. Like, if you really love this person, then you should love the whole of them, and you should at least have some deference to understand the situation they were in. I know everybody just wants to be like, well, just don't lie to me. You got to tell me up front what I'm getting into. It's like, well, if it's a matter of life and death, I don't know that people would tell you, and I don't know that anybody would tell you. And I also don't know it's realistic to expect people to be like, well, I'm never going to have sex. I'm never going to find love. I'm gonna relegate myself to an empty room where no one knows but me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still have to meet people. It's like, when do you tell somebody that you're trans, if that's a thing you want to do, to tell somebody? When do you tell them? At the bar? First date? First kiss? For after sex the first time? When do you tell them? Because you got people out here acting like they will kill you for letting them know.
Yep. And also,
how do I know when I can trust you?
True. And also, for me, I think for a lot of people, it's the same way people treat other situations like racism and homophobia. Right. It's all of a sudden, it's what about me? All of a sudden, it's like they begin to question their masculinity. They begin to question their sexuality.
Am I gay? That's really what they're saying. You just made me gay and violated my rights as a straight person.
Right.
And now I want to kill you or be violent towards you.
Right. You made me think about sexuality and sex in a way that I had not planned on it. So because you made me feel a certain way, I'm going to turn around and lash out this anger on you. And it's very scary, and it's very frightening.
And I don't joke, and like, I know it's a cliche, but I don't really have a joke or even joke about what beating up somebody for that, because that violence is very real.
Yes, it is.
And happens very often to people in these situations, and they end up dead like this. And you, like, so that what you say is the under the auspices of a joke, which very rarely comes across as a joke or funny, is really just contributing to this idea that you should be able to beat somebody up for being trans and telling you if you've been intimate on any level.
And even if you hadn't, sometimes people just see you and recognize and just be like, well, I'm just gonna fuck with you.
Exactly. So yeah, this article is mostly about like why people should treat it like just like they do with Black Lives Matter. People should organize, people should march, people should try to figure a way out to end this violence, you know. Which I can't blame them. I think the way that it goes, I feel like when it comes to the auspices of Black Lives Matter, when it comes to the auspices of like black protests and stuff, I don't think it necessarily is the same as when police kill somebody. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean people shouldn't march. It doesn't mean people shouldn't be inclusive, but there's a slippery slope of this argument to the one where you go, okay, so then we should march, because a lot of people use this to detract from Black Lives Matter and from black protests in general by going, well, y'all don't march when there's black on black crime. So, you know, if a black trans woman is killed, if it's done by, say, a black person, it's like, well, Black Lives Matter should march for that too. And I don't think they want to confuse their messaging like that. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like what happens is once you step up and become a protest and you have a movement and an organization, people want your organization to do the work on everything. So it's like, yeah,
regardless
of this, right. This may be out of your purview, but come march for this too. And maybe they will change their organization to be that way. I don't know. But that seems to be the demand that, this person, Preston Mitchum, is demanding in the Root column. And, you know, like I said, I don't necessarily know that, it is, the same, because we're talking about, police being killed by, police killing black people. But at the same time, I understand why you want people to march, and maybe Black Lives Matter isn't necessarily the march, because I, like I said, what's the difference between this and saying, why don't y'all march for people killed by black on black violence? Why aren't y'all marching in Chicago for Black Lives Matter? I don't know that that's what the organization's purpose is trying to be, you know? But that doesn't mean people shouldn't march and organize. Correct. Just, it might not be this group. Like, they get it to the end and say that, let me reiterate here, this is not a critique of the organization's no structure of Black Lives Matter. In fact, its guiding principle as it relates to trans justice is one we should all follow. We're committed to embracing and making space for trans brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We're committed to being self-reflexive and doing the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women, who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. So in this case, it sounds like this person is saying they're not trying to take Black Lives Matter, the organization, to task. But, you know, earlier in the piece, I mean, it's pretty much exactly what they were doing, which is like, why y'all ain't marching for this shit too?
Right.
So like it says here, the truth is that Black Lives Matter, not the organizational structure founded by three black women, who two of whom are queer, but the words often shouted on social media by those who don't live in or acknowledge the intersections, doesn't really include all black lives, and that must change. So, you know, when people do that hashtag and stuff, it is very easy. And I mean, this is the other thing I was saying, and I mean, I continue to say it. People don't want to talk about it because it's messy, but it was way easier to organize around Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. It was. And it's because they're straight black men. Now, I don't, like, I was listening to a podcast today where a person was like, don't try to say your activism is better than mine. But it's like, nah, dog, it's, that's, you sound like the All Lives Matter people that are like, well, what about this and what about that? It's like, nah, it's okay to say I'm against police killing black people. But yes, even within this space, people have a hard time galvanizing the same sort of steam for anything other than a straight black man. That's okay. It's not about me being a better activist or a better person or better whatever than you. It's not even about a hierarchy. The truth of the matter is, people would like to see that change. Would you like to see it change or no? Because right now, as a straight black man, we have the privilege of saying, I don't want to see it change. Because it always works out for me.
Yeah, I benefit from it.
Right. But I'm saying it should change.
Yes.
You see, like, it shouldn't just be, we can get 100,000 people to march when it's a dude. It just shouldn't be that way, man. And there's nothing wrong with noticing that and still being like, and cops shouldn't be killing us. There's nothing wrong with those two things existing in the same space. It doesn't take you off message or whatnot. So, you know, I can relate to the issue the person is saying, because it's like, we don't have the hashtags, we don't have the movement, we don't have the organization around trans people dying, even though, you know, percentage wise, I mean, it's a pretty much a fucking epidemic.
Yes, sir.
Considering there's just not that many people, and then 15 people get killed behind this. So, I don't have any idea what can be done. I don't know what the thing is to do. I mean, you like people to be aware, but at I don't even know that it's an awareness issue. It just sounds like people are just hateful and violent.
Yes, sir.
And clearly targeting people. So I don't even know what can be done. I mean, when you march against the police, like, there's like some level of policy you want change, or some sort of like government intervention, or, you know, the fact that these people are employed, the fact these people have unions, it's like a thing to fight. In this case, it's just like black men are killing black trans women. Like, I don't even know what the thing, you know what I mean, the organization is to take down or whatnot. You know, I know when it comes to prison sentencing, we've read some of the fucking cases where people got found guilty and got a handful of years, because mm-hmm. trans panic is an actual defense that people put in court to mitigate killing somebody. Like,
yes, sir.
Like, if they would have killed another, just a straight man on the street, or if they would have killed a woman on the street, they would have did some more time. But because they killed a trans person, and they hid it behind the idea like, hey, I didn't know, man, really, it just shocked me that they was trans, so I had to kill them. It's like, okay, well, 6 years, that's all it, yeah, trans life is worth 6 years, there you go, see you back on the streets, you should be fine. All right. So at least we got to play the funny music, guys. Let me see if I can get some positive news. Here's the positive news. President Obama is to name the Stonewall Inn the first ever national monument for gay rights.
Wonderful.
The Stonewall Inn, the Greenwich Village bar that played a crucial role in the gay rights movement, was given landmark status by New York City last year. But the Associated Press reports the Obama administration will do even more to distinguish the site, according to two individuals familiar with the administration's plans. The president will name the bar the first national monument for gay rights. He's reportedly considering proposals that would involve cordoning off Christopher Park, a small sliver of land near Stonewall Inn and surrounding areas. Federal officials, include Interior Secretary Sally Jewell and National Park Service Director Jonathan Jarvis, are traveling to New York for a May 9th meeting about the proposal, according to the Washington Post. City officials are still looking into the land's title, but barring any complications, Stonewall should be declared a national monument as early as next month. So, good. There we go. Let's get into just the regular ass news. Still depressing, but no funky music.
I know, right? We can't jazz this one up.
Apparently, a masked gunman has killed at least 3 cops and wounded at least 7 more in Baton Rouge.
Oh, Louisiana?
Yeah, where Alton Sterling was killed. I think they said they killed him, the person. They said he was basically walking down the street with a rifle, which is legal in Louisiana. And
open carry state, right?
Apparently so.
Okay.
He was seen firing indiscriminately at cops. The shooter was seen walking down the highway with a rifle before shooting officers. Three injured police officers are injured? What? One was in critical condition. The suspect has been shot dead, and 2 others may be at large. So maybe 3 suspects, possibly, but they thought the same thing of the shooting in Dallas, and that guy was by himself.
Right.
Alton Sterling died in Baton Rouge. He was shot by cops 12 days ago. And a gang of 4, including a 13-year-old boy, were arrested earlier this week after allegedly plotting to steal guns and kill cops in Baton Rouge. The suspect has been shot dead. Police say 2 others may be at large following what appears to be an ambush. 3 officers have been confirmed dead. 4 more have been injured, and 1 is in critical condition in the hospital. The shooting took place less than a mile from Baton Rouge's police headquarters. Obviously it's not helping. I don't know what these people are trying to accomplish. I mean nobody knows the motives yet, but that's kind of breaking news going into the work week, so expect a lot of trolling from racist people on Twitter now. So I'm assuming we'll see a lot of that. And if there are other suspects, I mean, like I said, they had the wrong person as a suspect when the shit started. what was that, just last week in Dallas, they had the wrong person on the news and all this different stuff. So in the wake of this, the fact that this literally just happened, who knows how accurate this news is, but
correct,
you know, only thing people do know is that somebody did get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of other news, Idris Elba had his movie pulled after a massacre in Laurie. Apparently in on Bastille Day, which is a national holiday that celebrates the start of the French Revolution in 1789.
Okay.
There was a driver who took a truck and ran through a parade and killed a whole lot of people with this big ass truck. Mohammed Boulel drove his rented truck into a crowd. We even have like video of him driving. Apparently he drove that truck down that route 2 days prior, like scouting it out, I guess.
Wow.
So he killed at least 84 people and left more than 200 injured. He's a 31-year-old French Tunisian who had lived in the French city for a number of years, mowed down revelers who gathered on the promenade for a fireworks display on Thursday night. He was shot dead by police officers after the attack. He is thought to have made trips to the seafront on the 2 days leading up to the massacre. And 18 of the people that are injured have life-threatening conditions at this point. So more people may die from this attack. Now the thing is, Idris Elba had to pull his film because, his film, involves terrorism.
Okay.
Yeah. They were screening the film currently. They stopped screening the film altogether this Saturday. Before the request, many cinemas in France had continued to show Bastille Day, which is just, I mean, it is literally named after the holiday they were celebrating when the terrorism happened.
Oh.
Right? I mean.
What are those coincidences? Who would have thought that?
Right. So, in the movie, he teams up with another dude to stop a terrorist attack in the French capital. So it's just like, Jesus.
Wow.
Could not have picked a worse time to do that.
That makes
horrible sense
to stop too. Yeah, we gonna stop this right here. We might, we probably may come back, but right now we gotta stop this.
Right.
Right. You know, we might come back about Christmas time, where ain't nobody thinking about this, and try this one more time. But right now,
Well, it's funny too.
We taking an official summer break.
It's funny too, right? Because we know that, this happens a lot. Like, Supergirl had to delay an episode a week. This movie, this other TV show I watch on USA, or TNT, Mr. Robot on USA had to delay a episode a week, but also this other show that stars a dude that was Ned Stark in, Game of Thrones. That show I watched, they had a terrorist thing. They had to move that shit because terrorism is happening so much at this point that you pretty much have to, you really have no choice. But, like, if you play with this shit in your plot, you may be moving your shit around because terrorism's still happening and your shit might be real close to what happened. So yeah, they had to pull that motherfucking, they had to pull that shit. Also, neither here nor there, Turkey had a fucking coup attempt, over the weekend.
And I wish that was a meal, but apparently it ain't.
No, a Turkish coup is not a meal and is not a fucking treat.
Mm-mm.
It is when the military is like, man, fuck this, we taking this country back.
Yes, we taking over.
Right. Apparently the Turkish president went on vacation, and you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yeah, and the you're probably gonna cover it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, the yeah, basically he used FaceTime,
mm-hmm.
The president, contact a privately owned TV station, which helped mobilize mass support by harnessing social media.
Yeah, cause they said that they almost succeeded. They said the only thing that stopped them is that they used a 1970 model and they forgot that, social media is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I think I have an article. It was like the four reasons it didn't. Oh yeah. Turkey has had lots of coups. I don't even know how you live in a country that's had a lot of coups.
A lot, dog.
That's gotta be some scary shit.
We only had one civil war and they have lots of coups.
You go to the bank, it's like, this ain't the bank no more, dog. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, all your money is worthless today because it turned over to franking dogs and you don't have any.
Oh, you work at the embassy? Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't never leave. By the timetable of recent history, Friday's attempt at a coup d'etat in Turkey was roughly a decade behind schedule. For the better part of 40 years, again in 1960, the Turkish military overthrew governments it did not like around once a decade.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. This time it was 20 years because the last time it happened was 1997.
Oh, did somebody look at their watch? But it's coup time.
Damn, we're 10 years behind.
Shit, we might. We better get on this stuff.
Got to set my alarm.
Who was supposed to remember the coup? You're right. Fired.
Yeah. Who didn't put this on my calendar?
Right. Who didn't put it on the Google calendar for everybody?
Oh, you said 2006. Oh, I didn't. Shit. I put 2016, bruh. All right.
My bad. Let's go ahead and get started on this shit then.
We'll try. Yeah, the plotters didn't. They failed to arrest the president and the prime minister, something that is pretty much every coup starts with. They didn't establish control over the media, so they were able to use, the president was able to use FaceTime and broadcast over CNN Turk, telling people to go occupy airports and places like that to keep the military from taking over.
If this ain't a big ass promotion for an Apple phone,
right? First is that Turkey has changed since coups seemed the routine feature of the country's politics. In previous eras, the military could easily intimidate opponents into upholding the secularized and repressive principles of modern Turkey's founder, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. Yet, as Turkey has become a more complex society and the AKP has sought to integrate the country globally, the conformity of Kemalism no longer works. In 1997, many Turks welcomed the military's intervention to undermine Turkey's first experiment with Islamist-led government. A decade later, when the military sought to prevent one of AKP's founders, Abdullah Gül, from becoming president, opposing, among other things, the fact that Gül's wife wore a headscarf, Turks protested, declaring that they neither wanted Islamic law nor military rule. Second, the previous coups succeeded because they had significant civilian support. So this one, the people weren't even necessarily behind it.
Nope.
That's wild. When the tanks rolled up to the Grand National Assembly and the Prime Ministry on September 12th, 1980, Turks breathed a sigh of relief because the military promised to bring an end to the violence between the rightist and leftist forces that had taken thousands of lives in the previous 4 years. In 1997, the intervention, sometimes called the blank coup or the postmodern coup because the military did not actually deploy, was a culmination of the military's efforts to cooperate with women's organizations, academics, cosmopolitan elites, the media, and big business to destabilize and delegitimize a coalition of government under the leadership of an Islamist party from which the AKP descends. In contrast, on Friday night, the faction that sought to overturn the government had little popular support. When Prime Minister Binali Yildirim and then Erdogan himself called on Turks to defy what they called an uprising, and when both their supporters and some detractors responded, it was only a matter of time before the government regained the upper hand. Military intervention in politics has become an affront to whom Turks believe themselves to be. Finally, the coup was bound to fail because of who Erdogan is, what he represents for his constituents, and what he's done since coming to power. The Turkish president is a politician of uncanny talents. Yeah, they compare him to only like Bill Clinton when it comes to his charisma and stuff. So basically people like him, so they didn't want to see his shit taken over. All so
right, it was like, nah, y'all, we got somebody we like, so we ain't gonna join y'all in this coup military.
That is just wild to just think you can wake up and be like, new government, who this?
Right, and the thing about it too is that when the dude did, when their president did that FaceTime, basically people went out on the street, started standing in front of tanks and all that stuff. And I think I read one article where they were saying that the president was like, "Hey, I'm gonna force y'all to actually kill people. Like, y'all gonna have to do this if you want to get to me. y'all gonna have to attack these civilians, because I'm not giving up.
All right. Let's see what else happened. How about, oh, this is a crazy story. So there's like this woman who is the equivalent of Pakistan's Kim Kardashian, quote unquote.
Okay.
She was killed by her brother in an honor killing because she refused to stop posting provocative photos on Facebook.
She was killed by her brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was 26 years old. She was found dead near the city of Moulton on Friday night. She rose to fame for posting controversially raunchy photos and videos. Her brother Wasim admitted to killing her for honor in the press conference. He was arrested on Saturday night after going on the run from police. Yep, he said he is not embarrassed to have killed his sister despite the death leading to calls of action against the epidemic of honor killings. An epidemic. Wow. She's a controversial figure in a deeply conservative Muslim Pakistan. She posted selfies and videos that would appear tame by Western standards, but it's prompted a wave of shock and revulsion. Yeah, it's right. Like
she fully covered. What's happening here?
It's like pictures of her bending over in tight pants, and you know, pictures of her like wearing a short skirt with her legs crossed, or you know, showing just like a little bit of cleavage or something. And apparently, to him, it was okay to kill her.
Yeah, that's too much.
You know, like she was showing her feet and breast and stuff. It wasn't even like nude or anything.
Mm-mm.
But yeah,
can they see these pics?
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. If you guys want to see what she looked like. I mean, it's you know, like to us, it would just be like someone on Instagram that people are like. I know women on Instagram who post stuff like this and Facebook and stuff
all the time
that are like people I know that are friends and shit, and it's not seen as like, oh my god, I can't believe this, someone who gonna kill her, guys, this is just too offensive to us.
And I guess my question, who the fuck determines what's the honor killing? And like I don't understand that concept.
It's a societal thing, you know, and I think also like a religious thing. Okay. Where people feel like I can kill you because you're embarrassing the family, basically. And since you're shaming me, I get to kill you. And I understand that for some places it's actually legal. Right. Some places you won't go to jail.
A lot of times control over women, because a lot of times I it wouldn't surprise me if these honor killings most likely weren't done to males.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't. It's only for women. Yeah. Right. I mean, unless maybe a gay male or something. Maybe.
Right. Right. Unless it's a gay male or transgender. Right.
Yeah. But yeah. Essentially, yeah. They kill women.
Right. That's what it's
for, stepping
like
out of that box.
Right.
So yeah, just some wild shit right there. Let me see. Is there anything else? Oh yeah. Let me try this. Hold on a second. But yeah, that, you know, that's kind of the way things are some places, man, which is
yeah, it's fucked up here. It is truly, truly, truly fucked up here in the United States of America. But it's one of those things where I'd rather have my vagina here than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, you know, I can understand.
We got our problems, we got our issues, people do fucked up shit. Yes, there's still need for equality. Yes, there's still room for equality.
Right.
But, you know, shit like that, I go, nah, I'm good here.
Mm-hmm. That's a totally understandable reaction. All right, now to our new segment.
Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can't shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you...
That's right, in white folks moves. Mm-hmm.
What's up with this music?
That's right. In white people news, white folks are having some issues right now, and you know, we need to reach out in earnest, and part of our, you know, our journey to bridge the gap with racism. Let's talk about something important to white folks real quick. Apparently in the world of CrossFit, there is a huge controversy.
What's happening over in the CrossFit world?
Well, they are having the CrossFit Games, which is basically like CrossFit Olympics, in search of the fittest people on earth. And it's a thrilling experience for participants and spectators alike. But this year, some CrossFitters aren't so happy with the games due to the event's partnership with weapons manufacturer Glock.
Oh, so people that CrossFit, you know, some of them ain't gun carriers.
They may be white, but that don't mean you carry guns other than these guns on their shoulders right here. You need a permit for these bad puppies. Can't believe you let me up in the airport with Pat-Al and Bam. I know. But not real Pat-Al and Bam with like guns. No. So yeah, they plan to award the winners with a Glock gun.
They gonna give them guns.
Yeah, the top male athlete and the top female athlete and every member of the winning team will receive a Glock pistol, said Dave Castro, director of the CrossFit Games.
What happened if they don't want it?
In the prior years, CrossFit Games have awarded athletes with cash prizes up to $275,000 for first place winner. Jesus, white people be having like whole other like communities that just are rich too.
Right.
It is unclear.
That's for the group. Like, hey, you that come to the Y for the CrossFit at 6 a.m., 5:30 every day and on Saturdays and fuck up my Zumba class. Yeah, you can win $275,000.
I see why everybody's doing it.
Not me.
$275,000? I see why they doing it. Hell yeah, I see. You can't get $275 for Zumba of the year.
No, you can't.
There you go. I see why they doing it. I've been doing all this shit for free for no reason. It is unclear whether this year's games will reward the athlete with money in addition to the guns, but either way, it's gotten organizers into hot waters. A petition started at change.org condemning the decision and asking CrossFit to cancel the gun prizes. This doesn't represent our community in any way, shape, or form, the petition says. Irrespectful of anyone's right to bear arms in the U.S., branding the value of our community to be about awarding weapons as gifts and rewards is not what our community stands for. At the time of the writing, the petition had over 7,700 supporters since being created last night. So many people do CrossFit. As the petition says, we ask the community to sign our petition for CrossFit Inc. immediately denounce the cancellation of this partnership, as this is just not appropriate for the global community that calls themselves CrossFitters.
The CrossFit community, they roll deep, because when I go for yoga and all my other classes, a lot of times CrossFit is normally before or after. A lot of times it's after. And yeah, they come in there cut, they come in there rip, they come in there pump, they come in there beating their chest. They be like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this 55 squat straight. That ain't for me, but honey, that's some people, that's their lives.
Yeah, I think it may even, I mean, especially in the wake of the Orlando shooting.
Yeah.
You know.
To an extent, I agree with them, because one of the things, well, hey, if you own a gun, go buy your own gun. I won. I might want the prize. Fuck a gun.
It has nothing to do with guns. Like, it'd be like if everybody at the Olympics got a gun for winning, you know. Here, dream team. Here's your AR-15s, you know.
Yeah, it's different between that and you going for the best sharpshooter. I could see you giving guns at something. Not trying to find it with something at an event like that. And guns, people sponsoring it. That completely makes sense.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Reebok. It'll be played on ESPN. Like, it's a big money event. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, there you guys go, man. That's what white folks is up to today.
Worry about the distance, I'm right there. If you get lonely, give this song another listen. Close your eyes, listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. Oh, it's what you do to me. Oh, what you do to me.
All right, white folks, let's get back to this black shit.
We
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game where we go all around the globe and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see. Here's a couple stories. Former Atlanta police officer who shot an unarmed black man, 22 years old, turns himself in and is charged with felony murder. James R. Burns was arrested Saturday on charges including felony murder in the June 22nd shooting of Davaris Kane Rogers. The incident occurred when Burns, who had been called out to help an off-duty officer catch a suspected car thief, first blocked the car and then opened fire on the car being driven by Rogers.
Oh.
He claimed that he was scared the car was going to hit him, but a report released earlier this week said Burns put himself in harm's way and fired at Rogers without knowing if he was even the suspect they were looking for.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Worse, it was later concluded that there hadn't even been any car break-ins in that area that night. Atlanta Police Department APD fired Burns on July 1st with Police Chief George Ian Turner telling the officer that the shooting was an unnecessary excessive use of force. As the vehicle approached you, you were in your vehicle, said a memo written by Turner. The driver of the vehicle posed no immediate threat to you. You did not have probable cause that the driver posed a threat of serious physical harm either to yourself or others. Burns had been called to the Monroe Place Apartments on Monroe Drive in Northeast Atlanta at around midnight on June 22nd to help an off-duty cop who believed a man seen near vehicles might be a car thief. An investigation later concluded there was no evidence of car break-ins or any illegal activity that had occurred that night before the officers arrived on the scene. The suspect had fled the first officer on foot. The internal affairs report said there's no evidence that this was the same person as Rogers. As he drove into the complex, Blurn saw a silver sedan parked on the wrong side of the road, pulling away from the curb and heading towards his cruiser. The officer had initially told investigators, "I didn't know to block that particular car. I shot at the car who was trying to run me over and kill me." But according to investigators, dash cam video from the two vehicles showed that he was indeed positioned his car to block the sedan's path. Burns also turned on his lights and used his siren to indicate the driver should slow down. That driver, Rogers, continued to drive towards and around Burns' cruiser on the passenger side, the report claimed. The report says Burns then exited his own vehicle, slammed his door, and shouted for the driver to stop. Instead, Rogers gunned the engine. At this point, Burns was near the front headlight of Rogers' vehicle. Burns told investigators he was initially blinded by the light. He fired once on Rogers, hitting him in the head. Rogers' car continued on down Monroe Place before entering the parking lot of Cirque Daiquiri Bar and Grill on Monroe Drive and colliding with an SUV. The young man was pronounced dead at the hospital 3 miles away. So apparently his decision to block the car, according to Turner's office, his decision to block the car of the person who wasn't even a suspect to exit his own vehicle and to subsequently fire on Rogers constituted breaches of department policy.
Go ahead.
You did not have reasonable suspicion that the driver of the vehicle engaged in or was about to engage in criminal activity, Turner said in the memo. Yet rather than allow the driver to drive past you, you exited your vehicle and ultimately prevented the driver from driving away through your use of deadly force. So what were you going to say?
And my thing is this, and Atlanta has its shares of problems too, but more police departments need to do this shit. Start firing these motherfuckers. Start firing them.
And charging them with murder.
Firing them and charging them with murder. You do this enough, the shootings will slow down. They'll, you know, I'm not going to say they ever stop, but if motherfuckers know if I pull this trigger, I will fucking lose my job, they will think twice. They'll think twice. And my thing is, like, suppose they hadn't been cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like police officers are known to always tell the truth in these situations.
Right. So 0 to 100.
Oh, 0, because he lost his job and he's being charged with murder, and that's all. That right there, honestly, that's all people ask. And I think that for a lot of police departments, and I hope more pay attention, when you do this shit, you don't have to protest. When you do this shit, you don't have the marches. When you do this shit, people, Black Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter Associates and all these organizations, Stop the Violence, don't show up in your police departments and you don't have your cities in fucking uproar. That's all people ask, is that they be charged and that they have their day in court and we find out the truth about what happened. That's the bare minimum that we ask.
I'll give it a 25 because he still killed that dude for no fucking reason.
Now that's true.
I was just reading a book. A Canadian cops called on a black man reading C.S. Lewis in his car. I mean, they told us not to read during slavery. I mean, I guess it could be dangerous.
So they got racism up there with the maple syrup.
Apparently the poutine has got some sism on it. After the blue and red police lights flashed behind his car, Louis Andre Dauphin figured he may have added another prohibited item to the list of things you can't do while black reading. He's 33. He's a former high school English teacher. He had decided to relax last week with a few books at a parking lot for fishing boats that is frequented by tourists to the Canadian province of New Brunswick. He sat inside his Volkswagen Golf hatchback. Ooh, that's suspicious. Watching the waves pouring over Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, another book by theologian Timothy Keller. As he drove home afterwards, he recounted on Instagram, an officer with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police pulled him over, saying somebody nearby called authorities because a suspicious black man in a white car was parked at the wharf for a couple of hours. My response, really, I was just reading the book. He snapped two photos that he later used for the Instagram post, which says the Canada experiences some of the same racial tension that has made headlines in the United States.
Yes, sir.
In the post, he tells his countrymen not to get too comfortable on their high horses. He hashtagged the post, hashtag dangerous Negro.
Come on.
So there you go, guys. He says Dauphin said other Canadians he talked to believe that country doesn't have similar racial issues, although some commentators have questioned whether Canada is truly more tolerant. Terry Glavin wrote in the Ottawa Citizen, Canadians have long boasted that this country was born in 1867 without the original sin of slavery. We prided ourselves on being unblemished by the thing that disfigured the American Republic in 1776. The wickedness that persisted in Jim Crow's laws a full century after the bloody Civil War in the 1860s was pulled down only by the great civil rights movement that Martin Luther King led to the steps of Alabama legislator in Montgomery that day in 1965. As people in the United States take a close look at whether law enforcement treats minorities differently following the spate of deadly police shootings of blacks, Dauphin's Instagram post has sparked dialogue and some criticism. What a joke. If the police gets called, they need to check it out. A commentator named Jimmy L. Robinson wrote on the website of the National Post, a Canadian newspaper that covered the encounter. If you call that racism, you are as much a problem as actual racists. An Instagram user named Deadamon99 commented on Dauphin's post and said the situation was overblown. Big deal. You were reading the book sitting for hours at a wharf. You got to stop. You're not a victim. Yeah, well, hopefully they kill me next time and then you won't, you know, then I'll be enough of a victim for you to care.
No, you still won't care.
Yeah, that's true. Spokesperson for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police wouldn't provide details about the call that prompted the officer to stop Dauphin or name the constable involved. There were no arrests and no charges in the incident, said Constable Derek Black.
Because he did nothing wrong.
Media relations officer for the New Brunswick province. We received a report of a suspicious vehicle. We stopped the vehicle, spoke with the driver. The report was unfounded. Well, there you go. Since the Instagram post went viral, Dauphin has responded to some of his critics with a longer, more detailed post on Facebook saying he wasn't taking a swipe at the RCMP or the officer who he wrote on was professional, polite, and courteous. Well, he's Canadian. I mean, come on. I feel like even the racist Canadians would be like,
yeah, you're gonna be polite with your racism.
They kill you for being black, then be like, I'm sorry to inconvenience you with this death. So anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that's 100.
There you go, 100 from Karen. I would give it a 75. All right, last one. I live in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Says ASAP Rocky. And then he got blasted for saying that he can't relate to the Black Lives Matter movement. He is currently getting the business online after comments he made about police brutality resurfaced. Earlier today, Pretty Flacco started trending over a 2015 Time Out New York interview that suddenly picked up steam. In it, the rapper says he doesn't feel compelled to get political in his music, considering that other artists already have. An argument did arise, though, at Oxford University, where when you said you didn't want to get political in your music. I think speaking on the subject is fine, but I don't feel like I need to make songs off of it. If I feel like it would, I would. The student's whole question was, why haven't you gotten political? I'm like, bitch, because I don't feel like it. Kendrick is doing that already. J. Cole is doing it already. Let them deal with that shit. I want to talk about the fucked up shit in my life. That not that fucked up shit I see on TV, because I'm not there. How am I going to talk about something I'm not helping? It's fucked up. It's a touchy subject. He then added that he doesn't want to be a political activist and he can't relate to no fucking Ferguson. I live in fucking Soho and Beverly Hills. I can't relate.
He said all the wrong words.
Do you ever feel like you're being forced to address these issues? They're not forcing me to do shit. I'm just going to stay black and die. Why? Because I'm black? So every time something happens because I'm black, I got to stand up. What the fuck am I? Al Sharpton now? I'm ASAP Rocky. I did not sign up to be no political activist. I want to talk about my motherfucking lean, my best friend dying, the girls that come in and out of my life, the jiggy fashion that I wear, the new inspiration in drugs. I don't want to be no, talk about no fucking Ferguson and shit because I don't live over there. I live in fucking Soho, Beverly Hills. I can't relate. I'm in the studio. I'm in these fashion studios. I'm in these bitches' drawers. I'm not doing anything outside of that. That's my life.
I know it's PR person, but it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, this is happening in 2015, although, I mean, that ain't like that shit was 17 years ago.
Correct. You know? I guarantee you the views hadn't changed.
Yeah. Some dude, Nuff said, NY said, I ran into ASAP Rocky last month. He told me, I don't know you, but stay safe out there. He's not the same guy he was in that 2015 interview. Facts, he says. So people are still kind of defending him. That article with ASAP Rocky is old, but he recently stood with Black Lives Matter, stopped the Twitter bullying. Did he recently do that? I don't know.
And my thing is, now I do agree with him when he says that he doesn't have to be activist, because he doesn't now because he has the right and the freedom to be like, hey, that's somebody else's handling that part.
Yeah,
you know, if he chooses to.
Yeah. And maybe I think he may be one of the people that's in that video, because I want to say there's this video going around where it's like things you can do to get killed by the police or something like that, and it's all like black celebrities that are doing it, and he may be one of those celebrities. So maybe they're saying, like, you know, he's come around since then and knows that. Can we live? Beyonce, Rihanna, Chris Rock, and more. 23 ways you could be killed while if you're black. I don't know if let me see if this is ASAP. It's 3 minutes long. Is he one of the people in it? Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it don't take long. Yeah, you show it to everybody.
I'll try. Hold on.
Failing to signal a lane change. Riding in your girlfriend's car with a child in the back.
So that was Beyonce. Hold on, I forgot who the first person was. Alicia Keys.
Failing to signal a lane change.
That's Sandra Bland.
Riding in your girlfriend's car with a child in the back.
Philando Castile.
Running to the bathroom in your own apartment.
Ramarley Graham.
Selling cigarettes outside of a corner store.
Eric Garner.
That was riding pink. A commuter train.
Say what?
I said that was pink.
Okay.
Corner store.
Riding a commuter train.
Talib Kweli. Oscar Grant, of
course. Walking home with a friend.
Janelle Monáe. Greg Gunn.
making eye contact.
Chance the Rapper, Freddie Gray.
Selling CDs outside of a supermarket.
Taraji P. Henson, Arthur Sterling.
Wearing a hoodie.
Pharrell, Trayvon Martin.
Walking away from police.
Common, okay, Mario Woods.
Walking toward police.
Queen Latifah, Laquan McDonald.
Missing a front license plate.
Kevin Hart, Samuel DeBose.
Holding a fake gun in the park in Ohio.
Tamir Rice, Rosario Dawson.
Driving with a broken brake light.
Swiss Beats, Walter Scott.
Sitting in your car before your bachelor party.
Lenny Kravitz, Sean Bell.
Walking up the stairwell of your apartment building.
Zoe Kravitz, Akai Gurley.
Calling for help after an accident.
A$AP Rocky, Renisha McBride. So he did do it.
Holding a fake gun in Virginia.
Yep. India M. Beatty, and that was Jada Pinkett that said that.
On the way to Bible study.
Bono, and of course the 9 people that got killed in Charleston.
Holding a fake gun in Walmart.
Jennifer Hudson, John Crawford III.
Laughing.
Van Jones.
Holding a wallet.
Van Jones, Rakia Boy, Amadou Diallo, I think that was Tracy L. Ross, Ellis Ross.
For attending a birthday party.
Adam Levine, Jamar Clark. So yeah, they did have him in there. So look, man, like I said, shit is complicated, and that's why I try not to just throw motherfuckers out for every little thing. I mean,
they grow and evolve, they change.
Pharrell has had issues around shit he said about the new black. Kevin Hart, people have got issues with. I mean, he just said some dumb shit not too long ago.
Right.
A$AP Rocky, you know, I mean, it's complicated. Society is anti-black, and a lot of people harness this shit within, and not everything's like Twitter. Not everybody's woke and reading everything and fucking following all the activism and activists and learning the right language to talk about things. Everybody has their own journey. So it's good that people are lending their voices to this. What I hope you know, that they're not just saying, I said something fucked up, PR person, can you get me in this ad so that I don't look as fucked up, even though I'm still gonna believe and encourage the same bullshit I've been doing.
Right.
I hope that it's a wake up call. I hope that they at least are learning something. I hope it wasn't just a quick fix. You're allowed to believe whatever you want. Don't write into me telling me how it's all PR bullshit. That's fine if that's what you believe, but I don't want to live in that space, and I don't want to believe that. So, all right, I need to make a new session real quick because we're gonna get cut off.
Part two,
and what time? 2:17. All right,
I'll be right back real quick.
And Karen's got to go to the bathroom, guys. All right, so she'll be right back, and I'll add you guys to the screen. Let's see, create session. Hey there, Delilah. Call audience. Better go live. There we go. How do I go live? Okay. Go live right here. Leaving all this in on the podcast so people can see it. And since Karen has gone to the bathroom, I'll play my new jam that I like hearing. My man Kamal. He has an EP out called A Gorgeous Fortune. And I really like the song Police. It's dope. So, till Karen gets back.
As a black person in America, when you see the police, say a little prayer to the shepherd who let wolves guard the sheep. The police. Make it out alive.
Klux. Look like the Ku Klux. You ain't got a glue clues. As common as glucose to glimpse them in a blue cloak. Welcome to America, the new coca. Cola, wait a minute, cold. Tooting off the corner, get no doses from the club. club for the killers, killing cops just because. Color is a credible cause to make that bird call. Incredible cost to a mother thinking that curse call. That's a curse come to a confidence. That's as common as condiments. That's the kind of incompetence that will conjure a conflict. We have over security after we built a company. Hey,
who police the police? Who police the police? Who police the police? When they get out of line. Who police the police? Who police the police? Who police the police? When they get out of line. And we gon' have to kill somebody to get this revolution started.
Alright. Karen's back, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into our game.
Now that it's time for some guest-a-race. That's right, it's guest-a-race time. Now that it's time for some guest-a-race. That's right, it's guest-a-race time.
That's right, it's time for guest-a-race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along in any races. All right. A meteorologist has been arrested on child porn charges. New Haven, Connecticut. Police arrested Justin Goldstein, meteorologist with WTNH-TV, New Haven, Connecticut, on child pornography possession charges. He's 33 years old. He was taken into custody at the television station. Damn. Hope he wasn't on the air. It looks like you got a 33% chance of the right to remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's going to be a week full of take your ass downtown.
100% chance of these handcuffs.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday, he was charged with one count of promoting a minor in an obscene performance and first degree possession of child pornography. His arrest warrant said computer and other equipment on which the pornography was found was seized Wednesday at his home. The pornography was allegedly downloaded to an internet account registered in his name.
Ah!
The FBI Homeland Security investigation said that the police department executed the warrant. Investigators had tracked him since June when they learned videos depicting child pornography were downloaded to an account registered to him. Goldstein was released after posting $200,000 bond. Wow. He's scheduled to appear in court Wednesday, July 26th. We are deeply concerned about the allegations until the matter is resolved. Justin Goldstein is suspended from his duties at WTNH. All references to Goldstein were removed from the television's station site by Wednesday, and he has been employed since 2013 there. Guess the race of Mr. Justin Goldstein, chat room. See what they believe his race is. White. Odalala White. Whites. Whitey. A lot of white. He is going from weather watching that ass white. What? Golden showers. White indeed. White. So white as some fluffy clouds in the sky, guys. Is that what I'm saying? White as the snow in Snowmageddon. Well, everybody is saying white. And everyone has a 100% chance of being correct. Mm-hmm. Look out for chances of molestation as we go into the work week.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'll be right back. You know, like we got a overnight diddling going on Thursday.
Ah!
Coming down.
It's a late night fundling.
We'll be a farm, gonna be fartling up a storm going into the weekend. And we'll be right back with Weathers on the Ones.
Gonna be a twister, twisting them nipples.
Mm-hmm. Coming back, Weathers on the Tens, year olds.
Ah!
This is probably a good
we
time.
We got a category 5 because I like them 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Be on the lookout. Hurricane Lolita coming on in this week. It's probably as good a time as any to tell you this is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today. Use code TBGWT. Get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. It's GetBevel.com. I shaved with it yesterday before our, you know, TV gig. And you know what? I like to believe that that's why I didn't need that much makeup. You know, Karen needed all the makeup and stuff because she don't shave with the bevel. But for me, you know, they just, she was like, you perfect the way you are. I said, that's right. You know, because I manicured my situation before I even left the house so that y'all would know what was up. Okay.
Yes. And your beard game was on fleek. And,
it was definitely on fleek.
The photographer took a beautiful picture of you.
Mm-hmm. Right on my neck, which would have been full of razor bumps if this would have happened a few years ago.
That picture was gorgeous.
But since Bevel, you know, got me looking like I'm a movie star out here. I appreciate you, Playboy.
Like a model.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Bevel, go to getbevel.com, code TBGWT. All right. Let's get into the next story. A jilted Florida woman, 25 years old, was arrested wearing just a bra after she intentionally crashed into her ex-boyfriend's truck because he dumped her right after they had sex.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I ain't saying she should have did it, but well, I understand.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Don't fuck me then.
A Florida woman was arrested wearing just her bra after she allegedly crashed into her ex-boyfriend's truck as revenge for dumping her right after they had sex. I mean, that is a pretty bad time to dump somebody.
At least wait till I get home.
Right, especially if you dickmatize them or something. It's bad. Brianda Nayela Ramirez, 25, has been charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Ramirez intentionally hit the truck of her ex-boyfriend, Gabriel Sandoval, as he attempted to make a right turn and caused it to flip over.
Oh, Sandoval, get the hell out of that truck.
She's 25, he's 38.
He
told police that he and Ramirez began to argue in their apartment after he revealed he wanted to end their one-year relationship. Ramirez told police the couple had just finished having sex and she threw on a bra and got into her silver Ford Fusion sedan so that she could follow him after he left her apartment. She followed Sandoval to his aunt's house in Belgrade, where a friend dropped him off so that he could pick up his own truck.
He thought this was okay.
She probably couldn't decide what she wanted to eat. Now make sure you write the blackouttips@gmail.com, a 17-page paper.
And my thing is, like, I know age ain't nothing but a number, but it's not trying to find, there's a big difference between somebody that's almost 40 and somebody 25.
Well, also, if, I mean, let's be real, if she, you know, flipped over his truck, I mean, it might have been good reasons to break up with her before she got to that level. Maybe
of course he
might have been doing the right thing. Maybe he went over there to break up and she was like, no, this sex will make you forget, and then after the sex he's like, no, you still crazy,
right? I ain't forget,
and I don't think we should be together. And she was like, I'm gonna roll your motherfucking truck over because I don't watch Snapped, and I'm gonna say,
yes,
that I just lost control.
Yeah, he put that thing on her, she was like, nope.
Mm-hmm. This dick is mine now. She followed him to his aunt's house and whatnot. She told police that Sandoval refused to talk to her and drove off, but she continued to follow him. Sandoval's Ford truck flipped into his roof in the middle of the road after he was hit. He later told police he only knew Ramirez, who hit him after a witness mentioned a silver car. Witnesses at the scene told police that the driver did not stop their car after crashing into Sandoval. Ramirez claims that she rear-ended his truck after he slammed on his brakes. She said she panicked after she saw the car flip over and drove off. Yeah, she meant to do it. She probably didn't think it would damn near kill him, maybe.
Right.
Either or she just was driving off like, there's no way she could have thought she was getting away with this. Mm-mm. Police found her wearing just a bra when they caught up with her on Route 27 as she was headed to her home in Clewiston. She told officers that she had wanted to get dressed before turning herself into authorities that night. The front of her sedan had damage that consisted with hitting that truck. Ramirez told police that Sandoval pays for her apartment, car payment, and insurance, and that he is her only source of income. She was taken into custody and her bond set at $7,500.
That's why she fucked his shit up.
I guess. I mean, what if I'm supposed to get a job now because you don't love me?
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-mm. Somebody's car getting flipped. You paying me or you paying to get your car fixed?
Right. Either way, you coming off some money.
All right. Chat room. But what is your guesses for the races? Did you already ask him?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see it. All right, I'm sorry. I was looking.
Oh, it's delay on Pavad.
Hit. No. I just didn't see it. He hit it and ran, so she hit. She did a hit and run. Hispanic. They're such a passionate people. Caliente Latina, says Cass always. Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed. Hispanic.
Oh.
All the highway oranges fell out when she flipped this truck. Oh. The sism. Enough decency to cover up them chalupas before leaving her casa. There were 20 of her family members in her Ford when she committed the crime.
Aww.
God damn it. Damn y'all evil. Still love all the jobs.
Oh.
That failed. Quinceiera came back out. Brown, don't fuck around. LOL.
Ah.
You guys are all going to be voting for Trump. And you all got it right. You guys all got it right. That's her. Well, they're probably tattooed on. I'm just saying.
I'm surprised that nobody said leaving la vida loca.
Mm-hmm. I'll put some hot sauce on my burrito, baby. Everybody loves that one.
Yes.
Everybody's favorite. All right, let's get to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody is all over the place. Mostly 2-for-2, though. So, everybody's 2-for-2. All right, let's see where we go. Let's see if it gets more difficult now. Let's see. A man who tried baking a cat in his oven was arrested for animal cruelty.
You know what I'm saying?
It does seem rather cruel to treat a cat that way. Mm-hmm. It's not my preferred, use of what I would do to a cat, so.
Yeah, that's a different twist on cat cupcakes.
Yeah. Maybe he watched Key and Peele.
Maybe.
Maybe that's where he got it from.
Man, I put the pussy on the chain wax.
Put that pussy on the chain wax. An upstate New York man was arrested after officials found a dead cat in his oven. The feline was found after firefighters responded to a smoke alarm in his apartment. According to a police statement, Darren Anovi, who's 42, was charged with aggravated animal cruelty. Detective Eric Hill says she believes the animal was alive when Anovi attempted to roast it. No reason was given for why.
Oh, did he put some seasonings on it or some shit?
I guess so. I guess he, I don't know if he skinned it or not.
Okay, last time I checked, I ain't seen no good baked cat recipe.
It was alive, so he probably didn't season it. Cats probably don't hold still for that.
I can't probably fuck them up.
No reason was given for why he tried to cook the cat. When the firefighters responded to the alarm Monday night, they found the apartment filled with smoke. A judge ordered him to undergo a mental health evaluation at his arraignment Wednesday, adding he might be a danger to the local community. Novi lives at 400 Tower at the 400 Towers facility for seniors and people with disabilities. Okay. The housing complex is working closely with police and could not be reached for comment. He has no prior criminal history and hasn't done anything in the past to suggest he'd engage in animal cruelty. Bail was set at $5,000. He's scheduled to appear in court again in July 21st. Rich Park Pearson, a member of the local animal shelter, attended the court hearing and was outraged at the feline's fate. "We are horrified by the fact that an animal died this way," he said. "And personally, I am also horrified by the fact that this individual put at risk the lives of many other people in the apartment building where he lives." Well, let's see what they say in the chat room. Guess the race of Mr. Darren R. Anovi, who's looking rather unbothered in his mugshot, by the way. Let me see what y'all say. Where am I at here? There we go. Cocaine is a hell of a drug, white. Poor man's misunderstood the question of whether he eats the pussy, white. Cat actually died when it ate his seasonless food. All lives matter, activist, white. He was just trying to prepare one of his family recipes Asian. They set bail. He is white. Actual owner of the Chinese spot, Kitty Cat White. The correct answer is, and most of you got it, white. Couple people missed it. That's what he looks like, y'all. I just think he looks unbothered. Like, yes, I burned that motherfucking cat, and should have been talking all that shit. Okay, I said, look, you going in this motherfucking oven? All right, I don't play that shit up in Darren's house. All right, sword ratcheting this time, guys, and then we're getting the hell out of here. Well, I guess that's one way to skin a cat.
Oh, Lord.
Yes! All right, sorry.
Well, I guess that's one way to eat a pussy.
Oh, hold on. Now I had to go back. All right.
What's wrong with us?
You know, they always said Darren used to beat the pussy up. All right.
Yeah, he killed that pussy. Help it.
Why do y'all listen to this?
I know.
This really y'all's fault.
Yeah. Y'all encourage us.
All y'all people out there that listen to this.
All y'all premium people, this is on you.
Did nobody make you start feeding our egos, laughing at this bullshit?
I know, right?
Mm-mm-mm. Now we can't help ourselves. All right. A man with a sword battled a man with an aluminum bat on some Ninja Turtle shit.
Oh, shit.
A fight between a man with an aluminum baseball bat and another man wielding a sword apparently ended in a draw. An incident between the two men, 35 and 31 years old, took place at 8:30 in the fucking morning because somebody need jobs. Both men suffered injuries. However, none of the injuries were life-threatening. Trooper said the incident is still under investigation and no charges have been filed yet. Further details were not immediately available. So there you guys go. That's so terrible. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. Thank you so much for listening. You know, get our album Sunspot and Other Ratchetness on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We would love that. And getbevel.com, code TBGWT. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.